proud to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me today in the Rock Room, live and in person, you know him in front of the camera, you know him behind the camera, he's been on the show before, and he's back today to discuss, track by track, the new Rolling Stones album, Hackney Diamonds. Please welcome Mr. David Wright. How you doing, David?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I just want to say as a little disclaimer, the Rolling Stones have not paid me to be here, but every word out of my mouth is going to sound like they did.
All right. Well, hey, probably for me too. And if they want to pay us, we will take it.
Exactly. Of course.
Thank you for showing up with a Rolling Stones t-shirt on.
Yeah, I got this from the last tour a couple of years ago. Actually, it's a bootleg, so this isn't official.
Doesn't look bad, though.
Yeah, it's gone through the wash a few times. Yeah. It's still together.
Did you see them at the SoFi?
I did, yeah. I love the venue. I don't love getting there or the parking, but it's a great venue.
I mean, parking was $80, I think, that night.
I just saw Taylor Swift a few months back, and it was $100 for me.
I mean, you have to load up the car with people to do that.
Yeah, yeah. It's
ridiculous.
And getting out of there is at least an hour.
I picked Rita and her friends up from the SoFi for Taylor Swift. And at one point, I just texted her, and I said, I cannot get any closer than I am right now. It's at a standstill. So open your Life 360 and just walk to the car.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's what they did. But yeah, I've only ever seen the Stones twice, and it was both times was in stadium settings, Dodger Stadium and then SoFi.
Okay.
I mean, the screens are giant, so I feel like I saw them.
Yeah.
But I've never been close. Have you been close?
Yeah, and apologies to anyone listening if I talked about this before here.
It's okay. They won't remember.
Okay, good. But yeah, I actually, I shelled out a pretty penny one year to see them front row. Yeah. At Staples. And I got to say, I was like hesitant at first to spend that kind of money, but I'm so glad I did because I've seen them about 11 or 12 times now. Yeah. But that was the first time where I saw the relationships on stage and Keith Richards made a mistake, which he makes lots of mistakes all the time. And they make them better. They make the experience better. But it really annoyed Mick Jagger, and he like made a face at the keyboard as Chuck Lavelle, and I'm like, oh my God, he's been dealing with this like for, you know, 60 years or whatever, and there it is right there on stage.
Yep. Yeah, it's, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you only see up close.
Exactly.
The cameras aren't going to zoom in and show you that kind of stuff.
No, but it was fantastic. Yeah, Aaron Paul was behind me.
Aaron Paul?
Yeah.
Did he must have had some good stuff with him then, right? The blue stuff? Did he have blue stuff?
Oh, yeah. No. I think he quit that stuff.
Thank God. Are you working behind the scenes on any television shows that you can talk about right now?
Well, I can't go into the specifics of the plot or anything like that. But yeah, I've got a pilot at Paramount Plus that I'm really excited about.
That's exciting.
We're actually handing in the outline next week.
Something you created?
Yeah, co-created with some unnamed people that are more talented than I am.
All right. But they had to bring you in order to make it work.
Yeah, well, partly. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a collaborative effort. But yeah, I'm very excited about it. I hope I'll get to say more. Maybe when the next Stones album comes out.
By the way, I'm going to say something right now. Before we haven't even started talking about Hackney Diamonds, but I feel like there's another album coming. I feel like they recorded enough stuff for two albums.
Yeah, Andrew Watt, the producer of this, said that they recorded 28 or 29 songs.
Yeah.
And there's, I think, 12 or so on here, maybe less.
Yeah.
So there's enough.
There's another album coming for sure. And Andrew Watt produced the last two Ozzy Osbourne albums, and those came out pretty quickly, like within a year and a half of each other or 2 years.
Wow.
Which was the quickest Ozzy's done anything in a long time.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, not to like take this to like a morbid place, but I mean, this is either the last Stones album ever, or I think maybe one more.
I feel there's one more. Even though it's been pointed out to me by our mutual friend Aaron Kahn that the last song on this album is Rolling Stone Blues, written by Muddy Waters, I believe.
That's right.
And that's where the Stones got their name from.
Yeah.
So it would be a nice way to close it out, but I don't think we're closing it out here.
Yeah, certainly.
I just don't think so.
I hope not either, because again, not to tip where this podcast is going from my perspective, but this is, to me, their best release since Tattoo You.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it's astonishingly great.
It is.
You're, like when I saw them at the SoFi and people go, how are the Stones? And I'm like, oh, let me tell you something. They should never be this good at this point in their career. They should never be able to sound this good. And they do.
Yeah. And I think they're, you know, we all wish Charlie Watts was still here, their drummer. But you know, when I saw them at the SoFi, it was with Steve Jordan because Charlie got sick. And there was such a different, I hate to say better, but there just really great energy to the band. And I think that was coming from the drum kit.
Yeah.
And they probably also felt like they had something to prove after the pandemic.
Right. All that stuff.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was fantastic. I've only seen them twice. Great both times.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. I don't disappoint. And I always say, I believe it's because Mick's voice still sounds like Mick because he was never like, he's not Freddie Mercury. He didn't have a high end to lose. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do. I just saw a clip from the recent Guns N' Roses show and boy, man, Axl's just not hitting those notes.
Yeah.
But I would say that even Mick is like held back in recent years, but not on this album.
No.
Like he's really like, he's going higher and hitting it harder. And he just seems really invested in the recording of this. And it all feels like it's a cohesive piece in a way that they haven't felt in a long time.
This isn't a money grab, folks. This is a real album. This is the real deal. Now, before we get into it, another band from the 60s released a song, I believe, just yesterday,
two days
ago.
Yeah.
I haven't even listened to it yet. Have you listened to it?
Yeah, I have.
All right. This is the first listen for me right now.
Oh.
We're going to listen to a little bit of it.
Very cool.
It's a band. I don't know if you know the Beatles.
I'm not sure.
I mean, I wish them luck. I wish them well. But this this song is called Now and Then. I guess it's cobbled together from a John Lennon cassette, and then they put some George Harrison guitar on it.
Yeah, it was originally going to be released as part of the anthology series, if memory serves. But the sound quality was so poor, and John Lennon's vocals were so buried in this kind of lo-fi demo that they abandoned it.
Okay.
But at that time, I believe that is when George Harrison added his guitar, and then I think Paul McCartney plays the guitar solo, kind of mimicking a very Harrison-esque playing.
All right.
But anyway.
All right, they're talented guys. So let's see what happens. Here we go. Now and Then is what it's called. First listen. If it plays.
1, 2, 3.
It was a little loud all of a sudden. I'm sorry for that, David.
Oh, that's all good.
How much do I give it? This is just, it's not doing anything for me.
Well, I mean, it's a fine song. It's not like probably a song I'll go back to much. To me, the more interesting thing about it, and I believe there's a documentary about this, a short one on Max maybe, is that they used AI to pull John Lennon's voice out of that buried demo.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's scary. Like, you don't even want to get me started about AI because, like,
right.
Although
that's how Pilar is too.
Yeah, I should probably be nicer. I for one welcome our AI overlords because they're going to eventually listen to this and come and kill me. but it's a song that just would not have existed without AI. But you know, there's a sort of an impureness to that or impurity to that I kind of don't like.
Yeah, it's boy. Look, I gave it 15 seconds, but I mean, it just didn't jump out at me.
Yeah. And I don't think it's the kind of song that's supposed to. It probably would take a few listens for you to, you know, really appreciate it. But like I said, it's a little bit of a cheat.
I mean, if the Beatles were my favorite band, maybe I'd be all crazy for it, but you know.
All right,
let's move on. All right. So Hackney Diamonds, this is the first full album of all original material since 2005. So that's 18 years.
Yeah.
I feel like the band, like Mick and Ronnie and Keith, must have a little bit of regret that they didn't do more studio work while Charlie was around. Because that's 18 years when they probably could have got, I mean, they put out a bunch of extended releases like Tattoo You and Some Girls.
Exile.
Exile. And there's Goat's Head Soup. So there were songs, you know, in the canon that they could have done stuff with Charlie.
Yeah. They kept busy in their own way. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. With that stuff. And they also had solo projects that did not involve Charlie, which, little did Keith know at the time, involved Future Stones drummer Steve Jordan.
I know.
But yeah.
They did the blues album.
They did. And which like that, those recording sessions were meant to be a new album like this of original material. And then it just, you know, morphed into a blues cover album, which actually I think won a Grammy. So it ended up being a success. Yeah.
But it's not my favorite thing. When I always feel like when they go to, and when any band goes to a covers album, it's just like there's no gas in the tank. And then when they go to a blues covers album, it's like, well, there's no gas in the tank, but we're paying tribute to our heroes, so it's cool. But for me, I'm not a blues guy, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, to me, the worst version of that is when bands cover themselves and they'll re-record a song they released 20 years ago that was a hit. Like, who did I Melt With You? They re-recorded that.
Yeah, what's that
like
band?
Like 20 years later, they did another version.
I don't know why I can't pull the name of that band.
And it does is remind you, like, oh, the original was better.
Yeah, the original was great.
Because there was soul to it, right?
I think they do that to sell it to commercials and they get the money.
Oh, the publishing rights and that?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They redo it. Like, yeah. Blondie did all their hits, Kiss did all their hits, Journey did all, I mean, Foreigner did it. A lot of bands do it because then they sell that version to the commercial.
I will say, actually, not to bring this all back to Taylor Swift, that is the one version or one example where I can say, actually, I think they're better. If not better, they're as equal to the originals. Mm-hmm. And I completely support all the Taylor's versions
that
are coming.
She's killing it.
I love her in a way that I can't believe I do.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, she was I had nosebleed seats. Me and my girlfriend, we went, and it was unbelievable.
Did you go see the Eras film then?
We did. Yeah. We did that. We thought there'd be dancing in the theater. There wasn't.
Well, there was when we saw it. We saw it on a Friday night at 10:30 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And there was dancing and glow sticks, and people were doing it.
That's what we wanted. We saw it like 2 weeks after it came out. I think it was just too late. But yeah, I mean, I was at that stadium, but not at that show. I think that's a compilation of like three shows or so.
Yeah,
but
from
anyway.
From the LA shows.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Because we're cool that way.
We
she
are.
Does it here. Yeah. But yeah, she's incredible. And I hate when people hate on her for no apparent reason.
I know.
Because she's talented?
I think it's like, she's a pop star. And so she's oversaturated, which all pop stars, especially at her level, are. And I think that's where the hate comes from. But yeah, I definitely know people. And I'm like, well, yeah, why do you, she's wicked talented. And the songs are good, you know. And I think a lot of these people don't even know her material. So they just hate the oversaturation.
For no reason.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's like an angel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's like, she could ride out on a unicorn across a rainbow. She's just like ethereal. Is that the word?
Yeah.
I don't know. She's
just,
you just see her and you're like.
Yeah.
She's just like got everything. And she seems genuine to me.
Totally.
But people go, she seems phony. I'm like, really? Because I'm not seeing that.
No. I mean, you know, and like she's managed to not slip into, at least seemingly, any like drugs. I don't know how she could keep up the career she keeps up by doing drugs.
No. Probably has some wine at night.
Oh, sure. So an occasional glass of wine is fine.
Yeah. We would do it right now if we could, but then it'd start to slur.
Yeah.
All right. So there has been new material since 2005's Bigger Bang. The greatest hits called Grr, however you want to say it. It's not a good title for greatest hits.
No.
But 2012, we had Doom and Gloom and One More Shot. Both great songs, in my opinion. 2020, we had Living in a Ghost Town. That one's okay. I wasn't real excited about it because it's kind of mid to slower tempo. And I like when they rock. I don't mind if it's an album of rockers and then we have some ballads in, but when just a one-off single, I want it to rock. So
sure.
I was just okay with that song. But,
yeah. I like that song. And obviously it was restructured to fit the pandemic we were all suffering
through. Yes, exactly.
But, But anyway, I actually expected that to end up on the new album. I'm glad it didn't. It made room for
I'm glad it didn't too. But I expected it to also. But because when someone releases a single like that, you're like, oh, that'll be on the next album.
Right.
But again, that was 3 years ago that that thing came out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, Living in a Ghost Town is sort of the Jumpin' Jack Flash. That's not on any album proper.
No, not at all. Just greatest hits and whatnot. All right, let's move on. We got 12 brand new Rolling Stone songs from Hackney Diamonds, produced by Andrew Watt. Now, let's find out a little bit about this guy, who else he has worked with. I'm going to pull it up here because I don't know it off the top of my head, folks.
He's a gift to Stones fans, I'll say that.
Yeah. He's worked with Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus, Pearl Jam, Iggy Pop, Ozzy Osbourne. They know that, you know what, let's bring in some young blood. Hopefully this guy will not be afraid to express his opinions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
because that would be difficult. I'm 33. I'm in the room with the Rolling Stones, and wouldn't you just be like, "That sounds great"?
Yeah,
it all sounds great.
Well, he's a huge Stones fan, as he admits, and he said basically, you guys made the mistake to the Stones of letting a guy behind the barricade at your concert produce your album, but. His love for their music, I think, really shows and comes across just listening to the whole thing.
Absolutely. And he co-wrote the first three songs on this album.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always Jagger Richards, but these first three songs, Jagger Richards and Watt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And one of them, of those three, I'm really in love with.
Well, don't tell me yet.
Okay.
All right. So I got album credits here, too. I want to go through it. Angry, Steve Jordan is on the drums. Now Daryl Jones isn't on this album.
He's touring, or was touring when they were recording this, so he's not
with someone else.
Yeah, so actually you've got Andrew Watt on bass, you got Keith Richards on bass, you got Paul McCartney on bass, we'll get to that.
You got Ronnie Wood on bass,
Ronnie
too.
Ronnie Wood on bass, yeah.
So I'm assuming... And Bill Wyman, and I'm assuming if it doesn't tell me who's on bass for this track, it's either Keith or Ronnie.
This is, I don't know who plays bass
on this. It doesn't say on this track. Is there no bass on it?
No, there's got to be.
It's got to be, right? All right. I'm going to take all these songs from the top because Stone songs from the top are always something special. So let me turn up the volume now. And we're going to listen to the first track. This is the first one that was released to radio. They also did a cheeky thing of... They put it out there as like there was a little video and then it would stop like after 15 seconds.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
And I was like, why can't I get this to load? And it kept doing that. And I was getting so angry. Get it? Angry. So that's what they were doing. Okay. This is Angry. A lot of lag time. Oh. When the 80-year-old mix sings about we haven't made love in a little bit.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. There are moments in this album where he's talking about, you know, his age. He's 80.
Yeah.
But then a song like this, it's like, yeah, what are you doing?
What are you talking about?
I don't begrudge it. I love it. I will say it's funny. First of all, I love that song.
Yeah, I love that song too. And it's the perfect one to release first because it says the Stones are back.
Yeah. Although slight counterpoint is that as much as I love it, I was a little disappointed because, and I'm on record in this podcast as really liking Doom and Gloom, but that is the guitar work on that is Mick Jagger. And I knew instantly the guitar work on this, at least the main riff, is Mick Jagger. Keith Richards does come in on the solo, but I'm like, oh no, like it's Mick's driving, like where's the start me up riff?
Yeah,
that said, I love the song and we get more Keith later on. And yeah, it's a great track. And it comes complete with a Sydney Sweeney video, a music video.
Yep. And that's a cool video too, because they're, I mean, Sydney Sweeney just got the cleavage out and the whole thing, but driving down Sunset Strip with the vintage billboards that come to life with them singing, that's really cool.
Yeah, and it's cool to me because I, during the pandemic, I was up and down that street every day, literally past those billboards. So it's like, oh, well, I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I recognize that.
But yeah, throw in Sydney Sweeney and felt like an Aerosmith video from the 90s.
You right.
Know what I mean? It was like, all right.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little basic.
It's a little basic, but then the rest of it is pretty cool. All right, moving on to track two, Get Close. Now, this one features Elton John on piano.
Yeah, and you know, I gotta say, of all the guests on this album, the people I hear the least are Elton John and Bill Wyman.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, I gotta get these headphones because that's the best Angry's ever sounded since it came out for me.
Well, maybe we'll hear them this time.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Yeah.
And no one else of note... I mean, I'm sure they are, and I just don't know who all these horn people are and everything. But Elton John's the big one on this. Andrew Watt is on bass on this one, and Steve Jordan is on drums, and of course, Mick Keith and Ronnie. Ronnie didn't have any co-writes on this.
No, he didn't. Yeah. But he did some fantastic lead work. But yeah, as far as this song, before you play it, actually, and people can like have this in their head when they hear it. It's a cousin to Slave from Tattoo You.
Okay.
In the verse, and then also that sax solo, which is I don't know the guy's James King. He's from Fits and the Tantrums, which must be a popular band to somebody if he's on a Stones album, but anyway, yeah, it's this song. It's a Keith riff that I love, and yeah, so this is kind of a nod back to their Tattoo You day.
Yeah, and when that sax solo comes in, it just takes you right back.
Great.
To old school Stones.
I love it. I love it.
All right, this one's called Get Close.
There's Keith.
I'm going to move it up, try to find that sax. Let's find it.
There you go.
The vinyl album doesn't have the lyrics in it, which drives me insane. But the CD does.
Oh, really? That's so weird.
It's so weird.
I've even heard that there are differences in credits between the vinyl, CD, and other editions. I don't know how that happens, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, I got to say, I didn't notice Elton John again.
I didn't hear piano at all, to be honest.
Maybe he was just in the room.
Maybe he's just... Yeah, I don't know.
But,
this mix phrasing... on this, these lyrics are so good.
Yeah.
I walk the city at midnight with the past strap on my back. I love that. And then he rhymes it with insomniac.
Yeah, yeah. His singing's fantastic on this
album. It's so good. Now, true or false, that's a better song than Angry.
I think it is.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyone, like sometimes you hear Angry and you go, oh, that's got to be the best track on it, right? It's not.
Yeah, I definitely. Yeah, no.
Because we just got better. It opened with Angry and then gets better.
Yeah, yeah. And this isn't true of Tattoo You, but you know, the next song on Tattoo You is Hang Fire after Start Me Up. Not as good as Start Me Up, but still a killer track. But yeah.
And it's weird because those two songs are cut from the exact same cloth.
Yeah.
They're just like, they don't sound the same, but they're the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I do. Yeah, for sure. But no, when I got to this, because obviously I'd already heard Angry and the other single, Sweet Sounds of Heaven.
Yeah.
But when I got to Get Close, I'm like, oh boy, this I can tell this is going to be a classic album.
I've been telling people, oh, you got to hear that new Stones album. And people are like scoffing. Like, really?
Oh, it's the easiest thing is to hate.
It's the easiest thing is to hate always about everything. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift or the Stones. Boy, I wish it was Taylor Swift, though, instead of Lady Gaga, to be honest.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
I just love Taylor Swift so much.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. We're two in.
Ugh.
We got 10 more. Okay, the next song, Depending on You. Steve Jordan on drums, Andrew Watts on bass, Ben Montench on the Hammond organ. I'm just giving you like the big star players in this. David Campbell does string arrangement. So
yeah, and I think the interesting thing about this one is this was written in the studio, which is kind of like Keith's preferred method. He likes to get in the studio and just see what magic happens. And yeah, like Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, and Andrew Watt were all kind of playing this riff, and that's why Watt gets a songwriting credit on it. And this to me sounds like, again, all these songs sound like of now, but this sounds like a nod to the Sticky Fingers era, like Moonlight Mile kind of thing.
Okay, so this is Get Close. This is the third track in a row that Andrew Watt helped to co-write or got a co-writing credit on. So turning it up, going to Depending on You. And let's see if we can hear Ben Montench in here at all. Let's find out.
In the dark, your past and present tangled up in my arms, our secrets sealed in our scars, sharing a smoke on the steps of a bar. I was convinced I had your heart in my hand. I was making love, but you had different plans. Now she's giving her love to somebody new. I invented the game, but I lost my cover. Now I'm too young to die and too old to lose, 'cause I was depending on you. Yeah, 'cause I
This is the first time that I've listened and followed along with the lyrics, and that one just gave me a chill.
I love that song. I haven't ranked all these songs, but that one is my third favorite on the album.
Is that something you might do? You might rank the songs?
Oh, I could. I mean, I'd have to like really sit down and.
Well, I don't want you to do it right now, but this.
Oh, I could do it.
This episode drops next Thursday.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So if you do it by then,
happy to
send it to me and I'll tweet it. Are you still on Twitter?
I barely, but yeah.
But yeah. Okay. So you can you can tweet it out.
Yeah. No. I love this song so much.
It's so good.
It sounds that, you know. Here's another thing I'll say about this album.
He's making love in this song again.
Yeah. Yeah. We're wanting to.
Wanting to with the
woman that left him.
Yep.
But like this song. Or this album, there's like a sincerity to it that has been lacking, I think, in more recent Stones releases of the last 20 years. Like, I don't know if this happened to Mick Jagger or not, but it certainly feels like it did when you're listening to it.
Yeah, it's just, what are we going to say? We love it. We love it so far.
I know.
We're going to keep loving
it. They're not paying us.
No, they're not paying us. And, you know, look, my favorite band is Cheap Trick, and their last three albums, I don't like them. They suck. And that's a disappointing thing.
You interviewed him too, didn't you?
I haven't interviewed Cheap Trick. No.
Okay.
Well,
you're not going to now. Well,
I would just avoid stuff I don't like. But I just, so what I'm trying to say is people who listen know that I'm not that fan that's like, just because I love the band doesn't mean I give them a pass on every single thing they do. They still got to bring it, and they still got to, and I love Bigger Bang too.
Oh, me
too. Maybe a few songs too heavy with 16 tracks, but I easily like I might like 14 of them. You know what I mean? I really do like that album also.
Me too. Although now that this is out, I'm like, oh my God. Like, this is just
I know.
Above that. And you know, the,
again, this shouldn't be this it good,
shouldn't.
Folks.
It shouldn't.
And The Who released a brand new album a couple years ago just called Who. And I thought that was an excellent album too. But this is better than that. This is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just, and there were great, there are like five great songs on that Who album that really make me feel inside in my bones. But but this is just, this is crazy.
That's fantastic.
All right, here we go. I don't know. Now look, this one features Paul McCartney on bass. Why doesn't Ringo and Paul just join the Stones? We got a bass player and a drummer then, and then it could be Ronnie,
oh,
Keith,
boy.
Mick,
well,
Paul and Ringo.
I mean, the biggest problem is, you know, the thing that you have to do with Keith, if you're a drummer, is you follow him.
Oh, yeah.
Normally the guitarist follows the drummer, but the drummer follows Keith in the Stones.
And Ringo might not want to do that.
Yeah, no, no.
Excuse my dry cough, people. Okay, so this is called Bite My Head Off, featuring Paul McCartney on bass, Steve Jordan on drums, and then the Stones and Matt Clifford on piano. Did you hear, was Benmont in there a little bit? I think at the beginning there's a little bit of.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure.
It's
yeah.
hard. Some of these people are hidden in the mix.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. This is, boy, this song rocks.
Yeah.
Bite My Head Off. I gotta be honest, if any other 80-year-old was singing these lyrics, I might find it laughable.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But it totally works for me.
Can you advance ahead a little bit to that bass solo?
Oh, yeah. Let me find it. Hold on. Let me find it. I'm glad you pointed that out. Okay, let me see if I can find it. Hold on. Hang tight, everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. The whole fucking ship is sinking.
Is it coming or do they miss it?
I think it's coming right after this.
Okay.
I love that part there. I don't know why. That might be Watt on the background. Okay. There you go, I think. Yeah.
They give him a shout out.
Yeah. So, interesting little story about that bass. That's a Hofner bass that Andrew Watt gave Paul McCartney because he was producing a Paul McCartney album at the same time as this.
Wait, Andrew Watt is producing the next Paul
McCartney?
The next
McCartney? Paul, yeah, exactly. And
all right.
Actually, it was Paul McCartney who recommended Andrew Watt, I think, to Ronnie, who then said it to Jagger. Anyway,
and then did Ronnie say, "Oh, I'm not allowed to give any suggestions. I'm the new guy.
And if I do, they won't give me any credit." But anyway, so yeah, Andrew Watt had this Hofner bass. He gives it to Paul, and Paul was like, "What are you giving me? I already have a Hofner bass." He's like, "Not this one." And he had his guitar tech add a little switch that allows it to get that super fuzz sound,
oh,
which
wow.
Paul just loves. And I read in an interview when apparently when Andrew Watt was walking Paul McCartney out of the studio after he just recorded that, he was like, he said, "I just played fucking bass with the Stones and I'm a fucking Beatle." It's terrible, terrible Paul McCartney.
It's not great, but it's not bad. It's not terrible.
But anyway.
Don't beat yourself up about it, yeah. And don't bite my head off.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, the grammar's all over the place on this because it's like, it's not why did you bite my head off. It's why you bite my head off. And then what does he say? Acting such a jerk off. I mean, there's some words, but it works.
Well, it's the punk of it. You have to drop some words.
That's true. This is a punk song.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the Sex Pistols did this.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It has that energy. And he's 80 years old.
He's 80 years old.
And Paul McCartney's probably like 82 or 83 or something.
It's ridiculous. But now I'm so excited for this Andrew Watt McCartney produced album.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
All right. Is he only going to work with guys that have one foot in the grave?
I don't know. You know, it's so funny because for a while, the guy that was doing that was Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And did a great job. In fact, he produced Mick Jagger's best solo album.
Yeah, Wandering Spirit is fantastic.
Yeah, yet apparently that was a very adversarial relationship between Jagger and Rubin.
Well, it worked.
It did work. It did work. Yeah, the end results speak for themselves.
Well, that's because Rubin doesn't play any instruments or anything. He just kind of tells you what he likes. Now,
right.
I feel like you could do that and so could I, but no one's asking us to.
Well, I mean, also, I wouldn't say anything bad to their faces. I would not have the...
Yeah, how do you do that?
Yeah, and apparently Andrew Watt, like, he would make suggestions and Mick Jagger would be like, oh, that's a good idea, or yeah, I'll plus that. Or he'd be like, no, we're going to leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
And he just wouldn't push. I think Andrew Watt has the perfect temperament for these egos that he's got to navigate.
These egos, exactly. Wouldn't it be fun to just walk in one day and go, it's not working, guys.
Yeah.
just fucking with them, just like, I don't hear it.
Yeah, can do it.
Doesn't sound Stonesy.
By the way, really quick.
Is this the Bay City Rollers in here? This doesn't sound good.
Yeah. And again, I said we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves, but I did just have the thought that, you know, we talked about the surplus of material that they recorded while they're making this. I only worry that it's going to be like an emotional rescue situation where the album that came out after Some Girls was a bit of that leftover stuff, and it's a subpar album.
See, I love Emotional Rescue.
Well, there's good tracks on it, and namely Emotional Rescue and She's So Cold.
I love Summer Romance. I love
That's a good
Where
song.
The Boys Go.
Let Me Go is good.
Let Me Go.
Yeah, but... It doesn't measure up to Some Girls.
It's a lot. It gets lost between Some Girls and Tattoo You.
Yeah, it does.
It just gets lost.
Yeah.
Like people don't. And they didn't tour on Emotional Rescue.
No.
The albums that they don't tour on sometimes also get lost a bit in the shuffle.
Yeah, sometimes with good reason.
Yeah. Now they tour all the time. I guess they're going to tour on this.
I'll be there.
Tour with this album.
I'll be there.
They have a brand new album to tour with.
Yeah. Freaking fantastic. And you know, normally they would only do like maybe two or three new ones. I would not mind if all they did was this album. It'd be worth it.
It would be worth it. They should play at least, look, it's been 18 years. They're allowed to play four or five or six songs from this.
Yeah.
Springsteen does it when he has a new album out.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Well, because he also puts on 3-hour shows, so he's got to fill it with something.
That's true. Does it bother you that it doesn't say The Rolling Stones?
I didn't notice till you pointed that out. Yes, now it does.
It kind of. And then inside here also, it just says, I believe it just says, yeah, Rolling Stones. I'm like, wait, is it always like that? No, it's not. It's The Rolling Stones.
Well, it's like Keith Richards' name is sometimes Keith Richard, but he added the S back.
All right, there you go. All right, moving right along. Let me put the readers on. We are moving on to, which track is this?
Whole Wide World, I think.
5. Track number 5. So far, this album is a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a 10 out of 10.
It is.
Whole Wide World, we got Steve Jordan on drums, Matt Clifford on piano, Andrew Watt on bass and backing vocals. All right, here we go. Whole Wide World.
Yeah.
That's great.
I love that song.
I mean, and I like how he puts on a little bit of the. I mean, he is English, but he amps up the English accent a little bit with the.
Well, he does a Cockney accent later on in the song, yeah, where it gets at the slow part, which I really like. Some people are annoyed by that because obviously he doesn't really have a Cockney accent.
No,
but
no.
It works. Jagger's great. Little interesting.
Like, he knows when to do it and when not to do it. He knows when it's going to work and when it's not going to work.
Totally. And it absolutely works where he put it in the song. But yeah, a little history of this one. It was a Mick Jagger song that he brought in, and Keith Richards listened to it and he's like, oh, maybe cut the length of the verse in half. And then, and then Keith came up with that guitar riff on top of it. And I guess Mick Jagger said to Andrew Watt, I don't know how to sing on top of that. And Andrew Watt was just like, just do it. And there you go. There's the song.
Just do it. Yeah. Just try. Yeah. Why wouldn't you try?
Just try it. It'll work.
We're still, this album's still a 10 out of 10.
Great. Yeah.
And the naysayers can suck it.
They can.
I'm hoping that people that haven't looked for, my listeners that haven't looked for the album yet, might be hearing it right now for the first time. And hopefully they're going to feel as ecstatic about it as we feel.
Yeah.
That's what I hope.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, this really hit me emotionally just because I love the band so much. They've been such a part of my life. And I you know, you hate to see them like whiff it, but they didn't with this one. They just knocked it out of the park, and I was just so relieved and happy.
They knocked it out of the park so much that you can buy, you saw the baseball versions that you can buy?
Oh my God, yes. See, that's, sorry, I didn't interrupt. But
no, you're fine.
You can tell that the band has a passion for this release as well because of all the energy they're putting into that kind of stuff and also public appearances, which they don't really like to do much, especially Keith.
Yep.
But the Jimmy Fallon event, all that stuff. Yeah, they really, I guess what this album has more than anything is focus. And
are they going to be on Saturday Night Live in the next couple months?
Oh, I would imagine.
How could they not be?
I didn't even, like, that wasn't even on my radar. That'd be amazing.
They've got to be, right?
Yeah.
The Foo Fighters were just on.
Yeah.
They've got to be on.
Well, actually, you know what, though? Mick Jagger did just guest on it without the band, so who knows?
I feel that's a precursor to
be.
It's coming.
I would love it.
I would, too. What else did I want to say about something? I can't remember.
Sorry. Oh, I interrupted.
You were talking
about the baseball covers.
The baseball covers. I forget. Ah. But it's cool. It's cool. It'll either come back to me or it wasn't important. All right, moving on to, I keep having to count the tracks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, this closes out side one.
Great way to close it.
This one's called Dreamy Skies. Steve Jordan on drums, Matt Clifford on piano, Ben Montench on the Hammond organ. It does not tell us who's on bass, so I assume it's either Keith or Ronnie.
Oh, it's Keith.
And how do you know that?
I've done a deep dive on this.
You certainly have.
Yeah.
In preparation for this or no, as a fan?
As a fan. I mean, I don't know everything. There's always more you can know, but yeah, this is Keith on bass. I think I read that in the Andrew Watt interview on Rolling Stone.
All right. Dreamy Skies.
Well, I got to take a break from it all, 'cause the wind and the wilderness call, and I just need some peace from the storms. I got to take a break from it all, and I got to take a break for a while. Well, there ain't another human for 100 miles. I hate being enclosed by the wall. And I got to take a break from it all.
I love that Keith back.
I know, I love it too.
I'll be dancing on diamonds. I'll be skating on glass. I'll be chopping up wood. An old AM radio is all that I've got. It just plays Hank Williams and some bad honky-tonk.
'cause I got to take a break.
Yeah, I like the minimalism of that track.
I do too, and I like that the slower one closes out side one of the album. It, after just hammering us, now it's giving us a little breathing room, and yeah. It's just great.
Yeah, fantastic. And that's, yeah, Ronnie Wood on dobro guitar. And, you know, the way they recorded this album, they kind of did it live. And obviously there's overdubs after that. But
yeah.
But that's Keith live on bass and Ronnie on dobro guitar. And obviously Mick Jagger was doing a temp track and then later did what you heard there. But anyway, fantastic.
Yeah, it's just, it's so cool. It's like, again, they're really invested, like you said, in the project.
Yeah.
I know what I was going to say. When this came out, did you stream it? Did you buy it digitally? Did you go seek a physical copy? What did you do?
So it came out, I think it was a Thursday or Friday, and I made sure I got it at midnight, like listened to it on Spotify midnight, and I listened the whole thing, and I'm just like, I can't freaking believe how good this is. I woke up so happy. I told my girlfriend, I'm like, this New Stones album's amazing. And then what I did was I went out to the LA pop-up in Century City Mall and I bought it on vinyl.
Okay.
And boy, there's a lot of overpriced stuff at that pop-up.
Did they have CDs there? Because I could not find a CD.
They did.
Anywhere.
Oh, yeah. They had CDs. They had everything. They had a $500 leather jacket with a tongue on it.
How many of those did you get?
I didn't get any of those.
Did you buy anything other than the album?
Just the album. Yeah, I was tempted. There was some stuff I wanted to get.
I know. Yeah. You see that logo and it's a band you love. You're just like, am I going to get that?
Yeah.
I'm always threatening to buy a concert shirt recently. But then when I get there and I look at the merch, I'm just like, that's too busy. I'm not going to wear that.
I agree. Like, honestly, like some of their merch is really too busy and they get like a little too cute with the logo. I like kind of like this, the standard, you know, logo from the 70s.
I think that every band should sell one shirt that's just black and just has the logo.
Yes.
Like Kiss. Just Kiss on a black shirt.
Exactly.
No, I don't need 72 tour dates on the back or 100%. Any of that stuff. Just make one simple one and I guarantee you'll sell those.
I agree. I feel, I don't know who wants the other, but
the only time I'll buy a busy shirt is if it's Iron Maiden because.
Oh, well, it has to be.
It has to be.
Yeah.
How can it not be busy?
I mean, any metal band, sure.
Right. But like tonight, I'm going to look at that Kiss merch and I'm going to go, nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to buy one, but...
I'm jealous you're going to that.
I wish I would have asked you. If you would have walked in the door and then I hadn't asked anyone and then that came out of your mouth, I would have been like, well, you're in. Yeah. It's a done deal. Does your girlfriend like the music you like?
Yeah, thankfully, yeah. I mean, she's honestly the one who turned me on to Taylor Swift.
Okay.
So I didn't know a lot of Taylor Swift before her, but she was already herself into like classic rock bands, the Stones. The Who is her favorite, actually.
Okay, cool.
I went with her to the Stones when I last saw them a couple years ago, a year ago now. So we like a lot of the same music, but you know, we can turn each other on to other stuff too.
Did you guys see The Who when they were at the Hollywood Bowl recently?
We were supposed to, but we got COVID.
That'll ruin it for you.
Yeah. So we ended up not seeing
it. It was great.
Yeah, it was, I think it was around this time last year.
Yeah, it was really great. I have a friend, Suzanne, who's been on the podcast many times, but she's friends with the guy who is in charge of running the cameras for The Who's live shows. And he got us like in a garden box.
Oh, that's amazing.
And he kept telling her all day, the seats aren't going to be as good as they were last time.
Oh.
And the last time, I went with her last time too, we got to walk the stage before the show. Like, there's Pete's guitars and here's Roger's mic and his acoustic guitar. And I'm like, we're not supposed to be on the stage at the Hollywood Bowl.
That's amazing.
And I was like, can we take pictures here? And he's like, yeah. And then he goes, okay, now we're going to go eat with the crew.
Oh.
He said, and the band could be in there too. He goes, Roger usually isn't because Roger gets like a full massage and does like treatments on his voice. He does all the stuff.
Roger's job.
I know. But we go in, the table next to us, Pete, just eating with the crew.
That's insane.
And I'm like, can I ask him to pass the salt?
That would never happen with the Stones, I don't think.
No.
I think I told you I was worked on a pilot that Roger Daltrey was co-lead in, and I got to see his headshot, and in the back of the headshot, it's got his acting credits, and it's under other, it said lead singer of The Who, as if you need to put that on.
That's hysterical. He's not a bad actor.
No, he's not. He's not. I love Tommy, his acting work in that. I mean, it's a lot of facial stuff.
I'm not a Doctor Who fan or a hater or anything. It's just not on my radar. I can't believe Roger Daltrey was never Doctor Who.
Oh.
I feel like maybe he could still do it. I feel like he could be, he could have been Doctor Who.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then it would have got me into the show. All right, moving on. We're going to kick off side two, or side B, as it says here. We got Charlie Watts on drums. So obviously this was recorded a while ago.
2019.
Look at you, Deep Dives. I'm going to call it, that's your new nickname, Deep Dives. Andrew Watt on bass.
I think it's Ronnie Wood on bass. That's crazy. It says Andrew Watt on bass?
It says Andrew Watt on bass.
Well, this
here.
This speaks to the conflicting liner notes.
You would,
I
think, there'd be some consistency when it's a Rolling Stones release. It wouldn't be so, you know, slipshod. Is that a term?
Yeah, that's a term.
All right. That's the one I'll use then. Yeah. All right, so let's see if we can tell a difference in the drumming style from a Steve Jordan. This is Mess It Up. Here we go. Let's go, Charlie. Come on.
Come on.
Such great singing there.
It's so good.
It makes you want to get up.
I know. We should record the rest standing. That's Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty great.
And such a great way to kick off the side. Leftover recording from 2019, which they went back and put stuff over top of, but fantastic.
And I love that you stole my codes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, hey, we're hip. We know what we're doing.
We know what's going on.
You took my keys and then you nicked my phone. So make it a little bit English too. Yeah, it's so good. Another good one. And it's the album is still a 10 out of 10, guys.
And just that Mick Jagger vocal too at the beginning. It's flawless. I mean, it's flawed, but that's what makes it so great. It's intentionally flawed.
Yeah, because Mick is not a perfect singer.
But I think he's, and I read this, that he, for this album specifically, that he would do a take and he would sing perfectly for that song. And then he's like, no, I got to muddy it up a bit. Mess it up.
That way, when he sings live, when he muddies it up, it sounds like Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Like, Mick Jagger doesn't have to go out there and sing Love Rain Over Me or Behind Blue Eyes. He doesn't have to get himself prepared to do that. Like, Daltrey still has to do those songs that he could do in the early 70s. He's got to try to do it now. And that's when it's difficult.
Yeah.
So... But he was so good that night.
The other thing that like Mick Jagger's doing on this album that I like a lot that he hasn't done recently is he sort of like leaned into over-enunciation in more recent releases. And there's less of that. There's a little bit of it here, but there's less of it than there normally would be. And that's what makes it rock. It's got to be a little dirty.
Again, it's the guy's 80.
Yeah.
And they play a stadium and he runs all the fucking way around that stadium.
Yep. Even after heart surgery.
Even after heart surgery. I mean...
Why hasn't Keith Richards had heart surgery?
I know. He stopped smoking, though. He quit smoking.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's like... Well, I love it. Like, I remember when I was an early Stones fan and learning that he quit heroin in 77, I think it was. And then I just assumed that, I guess he's just done with all drugs then. And like, no, he gave up cocaine right after he fell out of that tree 15 years ago, whatever it was now. Anyway.
But he must, you know, when they're at a place like the SoFi, it's gigantic, and Keith is playing guitar and he looks and he sees Mick running around, he must think, that's my singer.
Yeah.
I hooked my wagon. We hooked each other to the correct wagon.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're still an old married couple and they have their fights and stuff, but I think there is legit love there.
Yes.
And I think they both know how lucky they are. And You don't want to see. I mean, I would totally, of course, go to a Keith Richards solo concert as well as a Mick Jagger one. But
me too.
You want the Stones.
I mean, you know, Mick did that song during lockdown with Dave Grohl. What was that one called?
Oh,
but they didn't release that as like a download or anything. It's just on YouTube.
Right. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when I heard that, I go, oh, maybe Mick's working on a solo album.
Yeah.
But nope, not so far. But I'll embrace that too.
Yeah.
anything that comes along. All right. So Mess It Up starts off side two. Now the next one, Live by the Sword. Okay. We have Elton John on piano, Charlie Watts on drums, Bill Wyman on bass. It says the drums were recorded and produced by Don Was.
Right, because this is another leftover 2019 recording for those Don Was sessions.
Yeah, but you know what's funny is Mess It Up, it did not say, it doesn't have anything about Don Was here. So again, these credits are all over the place. So did Bill Wyman come in fresh and record this new bass? Like they were in the studio with Bill.
This is fantastic. I know a lot about this. And so, first of all, it was Andrew Watts' idea to restore the original Rolling Stones rhythm section since they already had Charlie's drums recorded. Mm-hmm. Andrew Watt went to Mick Jagger. He's like, well, how about we bring Bill in to record the bass line over this? And he's like, and weirdly, and this is from Andrew Watt saying this, weirdly, Mick Jagger's like, maybe, see what Keith thinks. And it's like, why is Mick Jagger asking what Keith thinks? I guess he does that. But So, and then Keith's like, yeah, it's a great idea. And this was in London, because they recorded this album in several locations, New York, Jim Henson Studios, LA, and then I think they did some demos in the Bahamas. But anyway, this was in London, and the Stones themselves were not there for Bill Wyman's part.
Okay, that's a shame.
It was just a day with Andrew Watt and Bill Wyman. And by the way, when Mick Jagger, decided, yeah, we're going to bring in Bill, he emailed him. So it wasn't even like a phone call. Okay. He emailed him. So Bill Wyman came in. It was just Andrew Watt and Bill Wyman. And Andrew Watt had sent this track with, I guess, Charlie's part isolated. And so he could kind of like come in ready. And I guess they had just the best day. Andrew Watt, being a Stones fan, he got all these like Bill Wyman stories from the horse's mouth. And he's 86, Bill Wyman. He's the oldest Stone.
He's the oldest Stone.
Yeah. But anyway, Andrew Watt's idea to do this, it's fan service, and I'm here for it.
But the band members, they had to have run into Bill at Charlie's funeral.
I don't know that they were at Charlie's funeral.
That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, this was during the pandemic.
Well, that's true. And they can't get sick because they're old.
Right, but yeah. But you know, Bill Wyman did guest as a bassist on some of their more recent live performances for a couple songs. And I think he was sort of annoyed by that, to be honest. I think he thought he was going to play on more, but anyhow.
Excuse me. What was I going to say about Bill Wyman? He left the Stones 33 years ago.
1993.
Okay, so 31 years ago. Or 30 years ago. He never thought they would still be doing it.
I don't think he did. Because
he probably thought, you know what? They're going to do it for about 5 more years, but I'm done.
Yeah.
30 years later.
Although
they're still doing it.
30 years later, but not that many albums later.
Lots of money later.
Although he wasn't getting any songwriting credit. Although tours would have helped. But
he's got to be loaded though, right?
I'm
Bill
sure.
Wyman?
He's got a big, he's living in, I think, the same mansion that he got in the 60s. So he's fine.
But and Mick have to have so much money, but they have bigger families too. They have like,
Mick,
more kids and more grandkids and all that stuff.
But they're not hurting. They're not suffering.
They're not hurting. Like, I don't even know what it's like. I don't even know what it would be like to be Mick Jagger. Cause like he wakes up and he can basically do any other than murder someone. He can basically do anything kind of that he wants. As long as he's not hurting other people, he can like, I'm going to go buy two of those cars today, or I'm going to go drink whatever wine I want, eat wherever I want. But I'm going to buy, he can do anything. You know what? The whole family's going to go to the Bahamas next week, and I'm just going to buy all the tickets forever. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, well, Keith Richards in December for his 80th birthday is going to take his family on a big African safari. He can do that.
I mean, it just, and he just says to his assistant, here you have the accounts, just set it all up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're probably going to hear a story where he's killed by a lion or something.
Maybe he, no, the lion bites into him and dies.
Right, yeah, he got his blood in him.
He's got his blood in him and he dies. All right, so Living by the Sword, we didn't listen to that yet. We just talked about it. Okay, Bill Wyman.
And Elton John on piano. Which
yes, Elton John on piano.
I'm going to try to focus to see if I can hear Elton
this
John.
This is the third Elton John song. Wait a minute. Hold on. Get Close. You're right. Second. Is it? I thought it was another one.
No, you're thinking of maybe Stevie Wonder on the last or second to last track, Sweet Sounds of Heaven.
I swear I saw Elton's name again.
I think okay. He's only on two tracks.
You're right. Okay, Elton, Charlie Watts, Bill Wyman. Here we go. Is Elton on this one?
Yes. But I'm going to try to hear him this time.
We'll find out.
If you live by the sword, gonna die by the sword. If you live by the gun, you're gonna die by the gun. If you live for the knife, well, you're gonna get stabbed. Run into the law where you're gonna get.
It's a groovy one.
It is.
I like it.
I gotta believe that Mick Jagger had to do some of these verses in parts because I don't think I could sing all that in a row.
It's a lot.
But I did not hear Elton John.
I did not hear Elton John either. I don't know what Elton wants to be on there. Just turn it down.
Yeah.
Way down. Yeah. I don't hear it at all, to be honest. So I don't.
You know, famously, Keith Richards does not like Elton John and vice versa.
Well, maybe they made up after all these years.
I don't think so. Because I guess Elton John was like super high in a live show that the Stones did in the 70s and was only supposed to do like two songs or something and ended up staying the entire night. And Keith was just like, you're not a Rolling Stone. You're just a guy we're letting sing do a couple songs. But anyway. So yeah, he's
hopefully
hated
that's water
then.
Under the bridge by now. Come on, gentlemen.
They keep fighting it's been years now, I guess. But yeah, they I don't think they get along.
That's silly. It's silly at this point, guys.
It is. Come on.
All right. We just got a couple more tracks left. We got one, two, we got three more tracks left. We're going to go to Driving Me Too Hard. Steve Jordan back on drums. Matt Clifford on piano. Anyone else? Andrew Watt backing vocals. And then the Stones. So no one of major note on this track. Do you know who plays bass on this one? You seem to have the inside track on the bass.
You know, I don't know who's on bass on this one, which makes me think it might be Andrew Watt, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I know it's Ronnie Wood on a B Bender guitar. I know that.
All right. And do you play guitar? I forget.
I do, yeah. Not like them, but
no.
I try. I mean, my favorite guitarist is obviously Keith Richards, so I try to mimic his stuff, but that's about as best as I can.
That's good,
though.
That's good. All right, Driving Me Too Hard. Here we go. This part.
Oh, totally.
Love it.
The Keith backing.
That's exceptional.
I love that. I think that's a Keith song, and it's the last one that they recorded for the album. And I guess like there was some, this is an example where Andrew Watt like said, hey, I think you can like plus these lyrics. And Keith is like, okay, I'll go home tonight and come back tomorrow. And he's like, no. Why don't you and Mick together decide what the lyrics are? And they did in like, you know,
nice,
an hour or whatever. And then we get the song we have. But, and I love, yeah, I love those Keith background vocals.
And
that's like Exile stuff.
And these songs, by the way, these are all like the perfect length. Like, you know, they're all 4 minutes or under. Like the longest song so far has been 4 minutes, 38 seconds. And that was the shortest song so far at 3:16. The next one's 2:57. But I mean, they're perfect, yeah, like rock and roll, accessible tracks.
Totally. Well, I think this album clocks in at under 50 minutes. It's like 48 maybe or 46. It's something very short.
See if I can find that out. We do have one long, it's 48 minutes, 23 yeah, seconds. And the longest track being the Sweet Sounds of Heaven, which is 7 minutes. But they always would throw one of those on there, like a Memory Motel or something. So
sure,
they would always have one little longer song. But so far, these are like, for me, just perfect.
100%.
Perfect track.
Less is more.
Less is more. All right. Coming up next is Tell Me Straight. Steve Jordan on drums, Matt Clifford on the Rhodes. That's all it tells me. I don't know who else, but the Stones are on it. I don't know who's doing bass. Don't know anything about it. But Tell Me Straight. Here we go. Oh, this is Keith's lead
yep,
vocal.
Do we have something or nothing at all? Just tell me straight. You got me high and it's quite a long fall. Tell me straight. Yeah, tell me straight.
And then background assist from Mick.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Some give and take.
So, you know, this, you brought up earlier that Keith Richards quit smoking, I think, mm-hmm, right? And you can tell. This is the best vocally Keith Richards
it's
has ever sound,
yeah,
sounded. At least in the new era that we're in. And this is actually the second song that they worked on, Angry being the first for these sessions. And I guess Keith Richards said he knew he had a good one because Mick tried to steal it. He Keith Richards showed up at the studio and it's like Andrew Watt said, hey, I recorded Mick singing your song. And he's like, no.
No, mate, that's not going to happen.
That's mine.
That's what we're doing today.
I mean, give the guy one track.
Give the guy one track. And it's the shortest track on the album.
It is,
give it
yeah,
to him.
Exactly.
I still love, though, from 40 Licks, I still love losing My Touch.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I love it.
I love Thief in the Night from mm-hmm, Bridges of Babylon. Yeah, there's a lot of great solo Keith tracks on a Stones album.
Yeah, there are. So
happy being the best still.
Yeah, go get those. All right, so here's the epic track. It's the liner notes actually, like it says, like, she's not just in like the credits, she's, it says Sweet Sounds of Heaven featuring Lady Gaga. So she gets her credit. She wants it. She wants it out there.
That was probably a contractual thing.
True. So we got Lady Gaga on vocals and Stevie Wonder on piano. And Jordan on drums, Watt on bass.
This, I don't know if I'm spoiling, this is absolutely my favorite song on the album.
This is the one.
This is the one. And I don't have time for the 5 minute version. I'm all in it for the 7 minute version.
So did they release a 5 minute version, like an edit?
The single was a five something. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't want that.
And it's like, yeah, when I heard this, because I heard it before the album came out, I was like, oh my God, my favorite band is back. This is what I've been waiting for. You know.
Okay. And they're bringing it with some Lady Gaga.
And Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder, I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Elton John's so pissed.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
Borrows melodically a bit from Otis Redding's Dreams to Remember for these verses.
Nick's voice sounds smooth.
Oh, man.
I hear the sweet, sweetest sounds of heaven drifting down.
I love this change here.
Bless the Father, bless the Son, hear the sound of the drums as it echoes through the valley and bursts. Yeah. Let no
All right, I'm going to jump ahead to see if we can hear some Gaga towards the end.
Oh, my favorite part in this song is coming up. I think it's a Ronnie Wood moment. It's going to sound like a whiplash when Ronnie's guitar comes back after a Lady Gaga vocal coming up right. Here it comes.
Nice.
I love their back and forth here.
Yeah, they're good.
And that. Ooh. We haven't gotten a Jagger falsetto, a good one, in a while. That's like tattoos type stuff.
He had to bring his A game because Gaga was in the room.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny you say that about, you know, people being in the room. So, you know, Andrew Watt was in Paris with Mick Jagger when they were preparing for this album. And Mick Jagger told us, because Andrew Watt was playing drums and Mick Jagger was playing guitar. And the story came out of him how when he was doing Miss You, Billy Preston was on drums. Mm-hmm. And he said that how sometimes, like, special guests, they make everyone in the Stones, everyone in the band behave. And that gave him the idea, like, well, who can I put in the room this time?
Yeah.
And he thought of Stevie Wonder.
Nice.
And it honestly, these results speak for themselves.
Yeah, you're not going to misbehave around Stevie Wonder.
No. And apparently he was late to the sessions because he was voting.
He couldn't find his way to the studio.
Oh, hey.
Come on.
But he sounds fantastic.
Really great.
It's my favorite cut on the album. And there's this moment at the end where you get this classic Jagger growl where he's like, have fun. It's like the last thing he sings, I think.
Wait, was that Mick Jagger? Is that your Jagger?
Yeah, that was my Jagger.
Fantastic.
Well, I'm not even trying. I'll come back. But anyway, yeah, I love that song.
Okay, now, for me, the album should be over. That's a great song to end with. That's for me.
Yeah.
And even though this album's still a 10 out of 10 for me, even though I'm not that big a fan of this last tune. And again, it's because I'm not a blues fan and there's no covers on the album. So if it would have ended with Sweet Sounds of Heaven, it's just glory. Maybe it's a 9.5 for me because of this. I mean,
I have a counterpoint.
No, it's fine. I'll accept it.
A couple things. A, then it would be just a 45-minute album.
Okay. Well, this song's only 2 minutes and 42 seconds.
Okay. So I wouldn't say it was too much.
Yeah.
But this is, to me, is like kind of fan service-y, though, because mm-hmm. I think, like, I don't know, for me anyway, and maybe it just speaks to like my past and stuff, but it's like you want your parents to get along, your divorced parents. And that's kind of what Mick Jagger and Keith Richards are. They're like these divorced parents that are back together and you just want them to get along. And so what Andrew Watt did was, this is just Mick Jagger and just Keith Richards and one microphone in a room together.
All right, I did not know that.
And what you're going to hear is take four. They did it several times. And he said that as they recorded it, with each take, they got closer and closer together. And this is take
all
four.
All right,
and
now you're
from that standpoint, it's a fitting end of the album.
I wish they had some cameras rolling during the recording of this. Is there going to be like a mini documentary?
There is,
or something?
And I am. I just cannot wait for.
Yeah, when is that coming out?
I don't know. But they shot a bunch of stuff.
And did they record live with McCartney in the studio together?
Yeah, I mean, they were there
well,
with
McCartney.
He gives
him a shout out, so they must have.
Well, the shout out, I think, actually was probably overdubbed, but okay. But yeah, he was there for that.
All right, this is called Rolling Stone Blues. This is the song from which the Rolling Stones took their name, correct?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Oh, they're getting closer.
Well, I wish I was a catfish. Fishing after me, fishing after me, fishing after me. Oh well, oh well, oh well. Well, I went to my baby's house and I sat down.
I like the history of the recording of the song. I still don't like the song.
Well, just to somewhat agree with you, it is my least favorite track on the album.
Yes.
Like musically.
It's going to be everyone's least favorite track.
Of course. But the moment of it is what I appreciate so much about it. But yes, 100%. You don't need it, but it's cool. It was an Andrew Watt idea. And
We'll let him have it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want him to
produce everything going forward.
When the credits roll at the end of this documentary, and this is what we hear and see as the credits roll, I'll be loving it. I'll be crying. But there it is, folks. 2023, we got it. Hackney Diamonds, brand new Rolling Stones album. 12 songs, 11 originals, lots of guests, lots of rocking, lots of soul, lots of grooves. It's just, it's a 10 out of 10.
100%.
It's a great album.
We don't deserve it.
We don't deserve it. I don't know how we got it. I don't know how it's happening. And I'll listen to Rolling Stone Blues over now and then, that Beatles song. I didn't give it a chance. 20 seconds is the most they gave it.
It's fine.
All right. Anything you want to promote that you're able to promote?
No, not really. I mean, unless people want a Survivor David Wright cameo, happy to oblige, wish you a happy birthday or whatever message you want. But other than that, no, there's really nothing else to promote.
All right.
Hopefully soon, the next time I'm back, I'll have a show.
That would be great. And you're on the socials, you're on Instagram?
Instagram and Twitter, yeah. I don't do too much of that stuff, though.
Not even Instagram, something fun?
I do more Instagram than anything, but yeah. It's more, I just feel like you have to. I don't really enjoy it.
Do you have the same handle at both?
Yeah, I think I hate this handle because it was before I was ever on TV, but it's Real Dave Wright at Twitter and Instagram.
All right, at Real Dave Wright.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, follow David if you want to, even though he says he doesn't do much.
I
just like to post like fun stuff on Instagram now. And like, I got rid of my personal Twitter because once they removed that blue check, which I earned legitimately, I was like, I'm done.
Wasn't that insane?
I'm only here for that.
I know. I don't think Twitter's going to be here in a year anyway. So
yeah, I just use it really to promote the show.
Yeah.
I just do it. And the at Rock Solid Show community on Twitter is great because we just talk about music and things we're listening to and
fun
stuff. So it's really fun. And I don't go deep into the feed to see other shit.
Yeah. Oh, there's shit.
There's definitely shit out there. There's definitely some bullshit.
All kinds of shit.
All right. Again, if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast. $2, you can win prizes. In conjunction with this episode, I'm going to give away a CD copy of Hackney Diamonds. I'm also going to give away a paperback copy of Keith Richards' book, Life. So again, $2 a month, you can win prizes, and you can be involved in our once a month Patreon curated episodes where you record an intro and you send in a song. I'll pick the topic and we'll have some fun. That's about it for me. We are at Rock Solid Show on Twitter and Instagram. David, so glad you're here. You bring in energy and you make me feel happy and fun.
Because
before you came, I was pretty sleepy because I've had quite a day.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No. It's just stuff. This is my day off, so I had stuff that I needed to get done. So I've been running all day long. And then after this, I'm going to see Kiss, which is fun.
Man, jealous.
But I got to wake up. I got to drink another coffee
or need some caffeine.
Are you cohabitating with your girlfriend right
now? I am, yeah.
And you guys are engaged?
No, not yet.
Sorry. All right. Thank you so much for being here. We need to do this again because I said that last time you were here, and then I waited too long. So let's come up with a topic and do this again.
I would love that. I had such a blast. Thank you for having me on. It was so much fun.
For you, and you came out here I just asked you a few days ago and here you are. So I very much appreciate that.
Like I said, it was easy to do with this release.
So. It really is. You want to scream it to the heavens.
I do.
You want people to know. All right. Our playout song then for today is going to be the last Rolling Stones song that came out before this album, because we've heard this album now. So I'm just going to leave you right now with Living in a Ghost Town.
Cool.
Thank you so much, David.
Thank you.
Here we go.
My favorite song is Meet You in the Ladies Room. That's the best one for me.
It's my favorite thing to do. And I get right up on the mic, so don't worry about getting up on it.
Okay.
You move it close.
All right. Yeah, it's. I'm not used to microphones like you are.
Yeah. You're afraid of it?
A little bit.
A little bit scared?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I can hear myself. I can hear my breathing.
Yeah. You can hear yourself go.
Yeah. Oh, God. All that stuff. Oh, my God. Now I'm going to really be policing that.
Where did I put my water?